Good morning, church. Welcome to the Sunday morning worship service at the St. Catharines United Mennonite Church for Sunday, January the 30th. My name is Paul Adams. I serve as the interim support worker alongside youth worker Taya Himes and Pastor Randy Clausen. Pastor Randy will be preaching later in this service, A Corner of God's Kingdom. And we look forward to that challenge from Ephesians chapter 1 that will be read later in the service. We pray God's blessing upon each one who would have opportunity to view this service, wherever you may be. And it would be my great joy to be able to announce today that beginning January the 31st, we will have programming back in our church, and that will include all of our children, youth, young adult gatherings. And of course, we look forward next Sunday, that is Sunday, February the 6th, to in-person gatherings. We would begin with our German service at 9:15. Our Sunday school will be in person, ages at 9:30, age 3 to grade 7, and then, of course, grade 8 to grade 12. Our morning worship service next Sunday will be at 10:30, and we would invite you to come and participate in person. There will be no congregational singing, but we would be thrilled to have a good attendance at this first in-person gathering next Sunday morning. By way of additional announcements, may I urge many of you to volunteer, if you have not already done so, to serve as screeners within our congregation. We really need men and women and young adults to serve as screeners as attendees would come back into our auditorium for worship next Sunday. So if you're pondering this opportunity to serve, please give the office a call, speak with Eileen, and that would be great. So keep in mind, kids, junior youth, your gathering is on Thursday, February 3rd at 6:30. Senior youth, your gathering is Friday, February the 4th at 7 p.m. And young adults, your gathering would be on Saturday, February the 5th at 8 p.m. Looking forward so much to being with many of you next week and next Sunday in particular. For our call to worship this morning, we are invited to read from Psalm number 24. And in Psalm 24, I would be reading the first six verses of this awesome psalm. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up their soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. That person will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, our Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, O God of Jacob. May God be pleased to speak to our hearts through the reading of his word, and as we gather in song, in scripture, through the sermon. May you be blessed within your heart, within your soul this day. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray. As we gather this day, with the familiar songs in our minds and in our hearts, the scriptures as they have been read to us, may we truly honor you with our heart, with our mind, yes, with our voices, and with our very presence. We worship you, our triune God, and give thanks to you that Jesus Christ is indeed the cornerstone of our faith. And though we are not gathering in person, we thank you that as a community of believers, we are able to pause in the midst of our day and worship you and acknowledge that we are part of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is that we pray this day for Pastor Randy as he would preach to us, that as we listen and follow along in the message, our hearts and our minds would be challenged as members of the body of Christ. We thank you, God, for the opportunities that we have as members of this community to volunteer to serve in various roles. And as we anticipate the regathering of the church in our auditorium next Lord's Day morning, may it be with joy and with anticipation as we gather together. Lord God, these are challenging days for the world communities. And we pray this day for the troubled spots around the world. As we record this video, we recognize that in many ways, the world is on the brink of a cold war as the Ukraine and NATO companies would stand alongside and up against Russia. We pray, God, that there might be a diplomatic solution, that there would not be the bearing of arms and the loss of life in this conflict, in this region of the world that has really been a hot spot. In addition, Father, to this particular area of the world, we know that on the continent of Africa, we know that across Asia, there are troubled spots indeed. And we have noted in our church bulletin that Werner and Joanne de Jong, witness workers with Mennonite Church serving in Ethiopia, are requesting our prayers in that troubled spot of the world. May they be a witness for peace and for the gospel in that land. Thank you, God, that you have given to us a vision to cast our eyes beyond our local community to the regions far beyond. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom be spread to the four corners of the globe. We pray, God, this day, for this corner of the vineyard, for the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, as we search for a lead pastor. God, we ask that you would be preparing the heart of that man, that woman, whom you would have come and serve amongst us and lead us from glory to glory. For our search committee that is now in place and preparing the agenda as to the needs of this congregation. Guide and direct, and may they be a discerning presence leading us to that pastor of your choosing. Thank you, God, that you have given to us many men and women who have faithfully served you in days past. May we not grow weary in our well-doing, but may we regain our efforts filled with the Spirit of God to continue to serve you as, God, you give to us strength. For so many in our congregation with burdens and needs, their names are known to you, and we bring those unspoken but very real prayer requests of those even now who would be tuning into this video. Minister in body and in mind by your blessed Holy Spirit, and may there be a calming presence. For those named, for Betty, for Fred, Ike, Peter, Rita, and Carl, that you would minister to their specific needs as would be your will. Thank you for meeting the needs of this congregation. We pray for our church council. We pray for the members of our staff. We pray, God, that you might release the blessings from heaven upon this congregation in these days, that our financial needs would be met as we seek to honor you with our time, our talent, and the tithes that we give to you. May our lives be an act of worship before you. May your blessing be upon our continued gathering as we sit quietly before you and hear your word this day. In the name of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
Good morning. Thinking about the message this morning, I'm reminded of the statement often heard at our vacation Bible camp, where the children are encouraged to be on the lookout for God sightings. Reflecting on a corner of God's kingdom, my prayer is that you are able to recognize the coming of God's kingdom, if only in a small corner of God's reign. Lately, in my phone conversations with church members, I keep hearing the deep desire to be together in worship once again, because online or reading mailed out printed sermons just isn't the same. I hear that over and over again. Because we long to be a community of faith, together with others, and we look forward with anticipation to returning next Sunday, February 6th. When Jesus was questioned about loyalty of the crowds who were interested in his teachings, he expressed the sense of community, saying to them, "People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God." It's no secret these days that loyalty to churches as institutions in our communities are experiencing significant decline. While the COVID pandemic is allowing opportunity for many to have a convenient way to exit the church, the issue of why people are leaving the church is not about the limitations of the pandemic. Earlier this month, Global News did a report on religious communities across the country and looking at historical data to consider why religious affiliation in Canada is in decline. While the report focuses on the three largest Christian churches, I hear from other Mennonite pastors that we are experiencing the same trend of decline. I'll skip all the statistics, but note the report's findings that while religious affiliation overall is in decline, especially among Christian churches, there are increases among Muslim, Sikh, Buddhist, and Hindu faith communities. The reason for this, the report indicates, is immigration. Think for a minute. For us at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, I ask you about when we as a church experienced the most significant growth. Since our beginnings in 1945, there was growth up until around 1980. And the reason for this growth was due to the large number of Mennonites moving to the St. Catharines area for economic reasons. Post-Second World War industrialization in the Niagara region offered good opportunity employment as people immigrated to the Niagara area from Europe or from the prairies or northern Ontario, and even later were added those who came directly from Russia. While the church as a community of faith provides families with a significant role, nurturing and growing faith relationship with Jesus, I would also hold out for us that immigration, rather than evangelism, has been a key factor of our growth. And with the decline of immigration to the Niagara region, combined with the loss of industrial jobs in the area, we've experienced a reversal of the trend from the first 40 years of our church history. Instead of growth, we have, since the mid-1980s, experienced a steady decline as our children and grandchildren have moved away to find economic opportunities elsewhere. The Global News report rightly points out growth in recent years has been among religious groups that have been those who have received the large number of immigrants, which is the same pattern St. Catherine's United Mennonite experienced 40 years ago. While Christianity in Canada is currently in sharp decline, I might guess other religious groups will follow a similar pattern in the next 20 or 30 years, as generations adapt to new realities of language and social trends in Canada. In the years to come, will there still be a corner of God's kingdom left called St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church? Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Christians gathered in the city of Ephesus heard these words spoken to them in worship over and over again. And the Apostle Paul began his letter with blessing and thanksgiving. Theologian Tom Yoder Neufeld says, "The blessing is lengthy and comprehensive. God has blessed those chosen through Jesus Christ before creation, granting them redemption, forgiveness of sin, salvation, and giving them an inheritance. The purpose of all this is for believers to live for the praise and glory of God." Yoder Neufeld describes this opening section of the letter as a virtual inventory, a table of contents of Ephesians. It functions as a primer or as an overture to the letter as a whole. Apostle Paul's excitement for the community of faith is so expansive, the entire section of Scripture, verses 3 on to 14, are in the Greek language one complete sentence. It's like an opera singer who takes a deep breath and sings with volume enough to fill the concert hall, carrying the music through a complicated, lengthy section of the story being told. Paul notes God's focus is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. While we gather, when we can, as a faith community at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, we might pat ourselves on the back for the good unity we share through Christ Jesus. Where does that leave us when we experience the reality of declining attendance? If our growth as a church came through immigration of newcomers to the city from years back, where does that leave us when our children and our grandchildren move to other locations, seeking education and economic opportunities? Will we be able to maintain unity of the faith when there are fewer of us to unite? Important questions for us to ponder as we anticipate the future of the post-pandemic life. A few months ago, I received notice that Robert Suderman, also known as Jack Suderman, had released a new book. I first learned to know of Jack years ago when he and his wife, Irene, were Mennonite Church mission workers in Bogota, Colombia. Together with others, Jack and Irene worked tirelessly as Christian witnesses to help end the violent conflict in that war-torn country. Among other things, Jack also had roles with Mennonite Church Canada as the General Secretary. Jack has a deep love and concern for the Christian Church, not just for Mennonites, but for a central importance of Christian witness in a biblical base. The title of his new book caught my attention: The Baby in the Bathwater: Aspirations and Reality in the Life of the Church. In it, he expresses a genuine hope as the church struggles to be the church. In my three sermons between now and Easter, I'm going to reflect on what Jack shares with us as I identify with his sense of urgency for us as a church to grapple with what it means to be a people of God and followers of Jesus. To begin, the phrase, "Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater," that comes from a Franciscan priest, Thomas Murner, in a book called Appeal to Fools, which was written about 1512 at the beginning of the religious reformation in Europe. As a priest, Murner wrote satire, attempting to shame those responsible for corruption of the time, notably those involved with the Reformation, especially Martin Luther, whom he called a great fool. Myrner, no doubt, would have also known Anabaptists and likely took aim at them as well. Of Myrner's use of the phrase, Sudermann says, "Throwing out the baby with the bathwater points to human tendencies to let go of what is good in our zeal to deal with what is bad. We get rid of both, or sometimes we eliminate what is essential and retain what is less so." Not only have we then hung on to the bad, we have eliminated the good, which could have made the bad less bad. In our zeal to toss out the dirt of life, the bathwater, we pitch along with the dirt, the baby, the one we desire, and the one we seek to cleanse. While it's tempting to be simplistic by naming education and economic reasons for Christianity's declining numbers, it must also be named that the Christian church has an integrity problem. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Sudermann says, "I have used this saying to speak to some who are disgusted with the witness of the church in history and today, and who want to disregard its importance. The church has not lived up to its noble vocation. Throughout its checkered history, it has aided and abetted oppression, injustice, and inequality in every way imaginable. We must begin by recognizing that." In my pastoral experience, I've often expressed the concept that sinful vices, name whatever sin you can think of, sinful vices damage relationships of trust. And the attempt to cover up the sinful vices creates an even deeper wound of brokenness. Most glaring example of this is the recent reports of sexual abuses and unreported deaths which occurred at residential schools operated by Christian churches. Shameful for each and every occurrence, yet the refusal of the churches to disclose their own records of abuse and the records of thousands of children who went missing from those schools has created an even deeper brokenness. There's also a long history of church leaders who have sexually abused others or who have strayed from biblical foundations and teachings. These situations litter the landscape, public or secret, causing untold brokenness, creating enormous amounts of distrust when the church, in its effort to protect itself, mishandles the accountability of its leaders. The end result is a further eroding of trust in the church as a safe and nurturing place for the community to gather. The end result is a further eroding of trust in the church as a safe place. Does the church need to remain that way? Will there be a corner of God's kingdom left in the next 20 to 30 years? Again, Jack Sudermann reflects, when Jesus defines the good news, he makes no reference to himself. He only refers to the approach of the kingdom as the fulfillment of God's timing. In every aspect of Jesus' teaching ministry, he frames everything in terms of the coming kingdom. To people oppressed and downtrodden, Jesus announced, "The world does not need to remain the way it is." Jesus understands the coming of the kingdom to be a restoration of people. This foundation of love for enemies, discernment of spiritual gifts, worship, discipleship, accountability, ethical guidance, restored relationships, prophetic action, and reconciliation. That's a huge agenda for the church to tackle, yet it is at the core of the good news, and we need to hear it for these days. Apostle Paul in Ephesians speaks of the reconciliation of all things in heaven and on earth. Dare we to aim for less? Dare we abandon all effort and simply throw out the baby with the bathwater? In the big picture, the beginning to the end, the biblical story, Genesis to Revelation, we glimpse the Garden of Eden and the glorious New Jerusalem, both images of new life, both expressions of God's good intentions, of the conditions of life that God desires, life under the authority of God, God's kingdom. In summary, Suderman says that both Eden and the New Jerusalem paint pictures of peace, harmony, justice, equality, cooperation, integrity, respect for diversity, environmental balance, and much more. They are comprehensive pictures of what has been, what can be, and what will be. Are we up for the task? Can we claim to be a corner of God's kingdom, planted as a mustard seed of promise in North St. Catharines and to the wider community? Or is the bathwater so dirty that we can't even see the beloved baby? When Jesus visited a tax collector by the name of Levi, Levi was surrounded by accounts and his cash box, security and people coming and going, and for all the paperwork and stuff happening around him, it's surprising that Jesus could even see the man behind the counter. And yet Jesus looked at him and said, "Follow me." In the view between Eden and New Jerusalem, Jesus does not call to save us from the evils of the world, but invites us to reconcile the world to what it can be, a corner of God's kingdom. I look forward to sharing with you more on the future of the church with my next message from Ephesians later in February. And until then, may God inspire you to follow Jesus. Amen.
Children.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship online. I want to thank the people behind the scenes who make these services possible. Eileen, Alvin, Dutch, and Ed in particular, and there are others. Without your support, those of us in front of the camera would be simply talking to ourselves. Thank you again for that service. A reminder, next Sunday, February 6th, Lord willing, we anticipate gathering here in the sanctuary for worship, keeping one another safe with our COVID protocols. And now, as we close our time of worship, may these words of blessing be upon you. May the God who began a good work in you continue to work in you to perfect his will, even as he promised, so that you fulfill God's promise with joy and have a sense of his presence with you always. Go in peace. Amen.